Praise the Lord, church. It's so great to be here tonight. We have had a very power-packed day. You can be seated for a moment. Before I get into preaching, I want to, a couple things. I want to also welcome all of our CIP folks that are here tonight. So, I want to tell you tonight's message is for you guys. And it's for this section over here. This section over here, and it's for this section over here. It's kind of funny how God works. I was looking up the details on the message. Sometimes I'll start something, and it's some time before I get back to it, and it was 2012 that I put this message together. I don't know why sometimes God waits so long to prick your heart on some things, but before we get into our message tonight, it is great to have Brother Forkpaw here with us. And Sister Jessica Rivas preached this morning. That was part A of our sermons today. Brother Forkpaw preached part B this afternoon in African International, and I'm going to preach part C because these messages all flow together, and it's all a continuation of our prayer meeting on Friday night when God spoke to us. How many of you pay attention when God speaks to us? God spoke to us, and He gave us a very clear challenge. And so I'm excited. But before we get into that, we have a couple here that has been a part of Calvary Gospel Church for many, many, many years. And it is such an honor to be able to take and work alongside them and to work with them. And they are the couple pastoring at Apostolic Worship Center in Poinette, and it is their anniversary. And I would like for Brother Dave and Sister Ellen Hopp, if they would please come up here. It's not a train ride because I know you have a bad back. But
I'm so interested in train rides. My son-in-law is right over there. My son-in-law, he operates and drives a train. He takes it down to Chicago every day. And he said, if you want to drive the train tomorrow morning, that'd be great.
Tomorrow morning? What time? About 4 o'clock. You want to sleep in? Oh man, are you kidding me? No. We'll have to talk, okay? I believe there's going to be at least one train in heaven, okay? I'm hoping for that, but the Lord's train, yes. I just want to congratulate the two of you. And how many years has it been, Sister Ellen?
26.
26 years. Incredible. God bless you. Would you like to say something, Brother Dave?
Many years ago, there was a Christian psychologist that's on the radio, and he said something, and in a sense, I had to agree with him, but yet I had to disagree with him. But what he said is that when you're looking for a mate, he said, what you need to look for is you need to look for somebody that you cannot live without. And I thought, that's maybe right, but it could be wrong. But the more I got to thinking about it, I thought to myself, he's right, because all of us need to be married to Jesus Christ. We need to be married to Jesus Christ, because we can't live without Jesus Christ, can we? Right? Right? And so, I got to thinking that that's a bad sign, isn't it? That could be a bad thing, because the way the world is today is that I think you need to be looking for someone that's compatible, that you can live with. Because if you marry somebody that you can't live without, you can be in bondage to that individual. And one of the things I talked about last night is that I finished up in my message and point out is that if you have a lust for something, that can be bondage, and that can be very painful and very hurtful and can be very damaging. But the one thing that I'm really thankful and I appreciate my wife, that I appreciate about her is that I hope that I know she is, that she's married to Jesus Christ, and that the both of us are married to Jesus Christ, and that's the reason why I believe that the Lord directed me to marry her, because we work together as a team. And we are both married to Jesus Christ, and that's the most important thing. And neither one of us can live without Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
It's all right. God bless, brother and sister Hop. Thank you so very much. You can go ahead and be seated. And I don't know about the rest of you, but it's really hot in here to me. And Friday night, as I said, we had just a very, very powerful prayer meeting. And God spoke to us through the gift of tongues and interpretation. And He challenged us to step in. And to step in to our promise. Now, church, we've spoken concerning this so many times, yet again tonight. I believe that each one of us here has a calling. And each one of us is on a mission, or should be on a mission, from God in our lives. I believe that every family has a calling. God has placed the families in this church, not just at random, not just because, but God has placed every family here because every family has a calling, every family has a purpose. And every ministry that we have in this church has a mission. It's not about, as far as our leaders, and I'm so very thankful that our leaders are not seeking positions, but they're seeking missions. And each and every one of us should have a strong desire and a strong hunger to do more things for God. We have been challenged, church. Brother Kurz came here and he challenged us. He pushed us. He poked us. He prodded us. He got us angry, perhaps. But exactly what he was saying was what is in the Word of God. Go ye therefore into all the world and teach, make disciples. And he's challenging us to make up our minds on what am I going to do in my life and what am I going to do in my life for God. Who will I disciple? I believe that we've come to a place. We come to a place in our lives where we must refuse to tolerate the things of the past. Now, there are a lot of things in my life over the years that I've learned to tolerate. But one thing, I am going to make up my mind that some of the things that I've tolerated yesterday, I'm not going to tolerate today. Some of the things in the past, they're in the past. Brother Forkpaw spoke of that this afternoon. I refuse to be satisfied with past blessings. I refuse to be satisfied with past experiences. I refuse to be satisfied with past growth. I refuse to be satisfied with the past in my life. And I'm seeking a future. I'm seeking a today and a future that is better than my past in God. Wednesday night, God, we need, Brother Thompson did a superb job preaching on faith, and church, we need to flex our spiritual muscles. It's not that we are unthankful for the past blessings, but we cannot live on the past, nor can we live in the past. We have to have a hunger. We have to have an internal desire that drives us, that pushes us. I don't know what it was about Paul, but there was something in Paul that constantly drove him and pushed him. I don't know if you can feel it or not, but I feel this very strongly in my soul tonight, that God is on the move. We were making reference to Israel. The cloud is moving by day, and the fire is moving by night. We have better, excuse me, better clarification in the day. Mr. Rivas did a great job on that this morning, speaking of Port Washington and in the fog. we have better clarity in the day than we have at night. It may be during our days that God is showing us a great grand vision, that we can see the mountains, we can see the trees, we can see far off in the distance. But when the nightfall comes, and there are times in our lives when we appear to be night after night, or seasons in our lives where God doesn't always show us exactly what He is doing in us and through us, but He's still leading us. And it's just one step at a time. We must understand that God is a God of transition. When God moves, when God shifts, we must move and we must shift. I have made up my mind that I am going on a journey with God, and either you're going to go or you're going to get left behind. It doesn't matter to me what you choose, because you are responsible. Choose you this day, as Joshua says, who's you're going to serve, whose side. God is forcing the issue. I don't know if you feel this or not, but God is forcing the issue. Don't feel it's coming from me. It's coming from God. God is saying, listen, my church, I'm gearing up for one final worldwide revival. And either you're going to be in it, or you're going to lose out. When God moves and God shifts, we move and we must shift. We must put ourselves in a position to receive what He has for our lives and reposition ourselves to a life, to live a life with God, and that is a life that is without limits. Beginning to understand more about dimensional thinking and more about dimensions in God, and I really feel that dimensions, as we've talked about so many times over the course of this year, that dimensions in God is more putting ourselves in direct alignment with God's will in our lives consistently every moment of every day. It's praying consistently every day. It's reading His Word consistently every day. It's when He tells you to move, you move. When He tells you to stay put and shut up, you stay put and you shut up. You wait for God. You don't rush God. You don't dally God. You wait for God. When God says we're moving, we're moving. We're going to need to position ourselves. We're going to read tonight from 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, and then verse 11. And this is a story about such a transition. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind. And Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. Title of our message tonight is, Today is the Day, and Now is the Time. Church, we got to step into this thing. We got to step into this thing. The time for talking, the time for messing around is over. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel, and it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Elijah, understand Elijah and Elisha. We're going to be talking about these two gentlemen tonight. Elijah was aware that his life was about to change. He was the elder of the two. He was the old prophet of the Lord, and Elisha was Elijah's servant. And he followed him everywhere he went. Elisha had seen God do some pretty amazing things in the time that he had spent with Elijah. He had watched Elijah's God stop the rains from falling down from the heavens, as well as watching this same God rain fire down from heaven and consume a sacrifice. But Elijah desired to have more in his life from God. And he knew that the old prophet had it. He knew where he needed to go to get it. You're in a place tonight where if you want more from God, you are in a place tonight where you can get every bit of God that you can contain. So he knew things were about to change. He knew he had a desire, and Elisha was going to stop at nothing to get it because he had got rid of everything. He was a wealthy man. He got rid of his oxen, his plows. He burned them and slaughtered his oxen and gave a sacrifice, and he walked away. And he says, I'm going to follow this man. So he had something, and he was desperate to get it. Or Elijah had something, and Elisha was desperate to get it. Church, we have to become desperate for God. I think the problem with the church here in America, Sister Sarah, is we are not desperate enough for God. You know why we're not desperate enough for God? If we were as desperate for God as we were desperate for our government paycheck, then we would be totally different. Some of you might not have liked that. But if we were as desperate for God as we were for the handouts that we get elsewhere, if we didn't get that, if you didn't have medical insurance, you didn't have all of these things. I thank God that we do, but if we didn't have it, oh yeah, we'd be desperate for that healing. But I'll just go to the doctor tomorrow. We're not going to go down that road tonight, but you understand, we have to become desperate for God. I pray that God doesn't begin to take things away from us to force us. Because I'm afraid that day may be coming, Brother Seidel. Elijah understood the anointing that God had placed on Elijah. Or Elisha understood. Listen, church, where God is taking you, where God is taking us, it's going to take an anointing that we have not yet had or experienced. It's going to take a pastor that's willing to step into a different dimension and live in that dimension and be comfortable with that dimension. It's going to take a church to be willing to follow after that, to say, I am willing to step in, and I'm willing to live in and be comfortable in, regardless of the consequences. Where God is taking us, we're going to need the supernatural power of God. How many of you have the Holy Ghost here tonight? Hey, you've got it. We've got it. See, the journey God desires to take this church on, this journey God desires to take you on, will require a double portion of his anointing on our lives. You see, people do not need to see us, but they need to see and feel the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost that flows through us. It's not about me. It's not me. It's about the power of the Holy Ghost that flows through me. But see, the problem is if me's always in the way, nobody's going to ever see the power and the authority of God. Because me's in the way. And they need to see and feel Jesus Christ in our lives. 2 Kings 2:9, and it came to pass when they were gone over, and Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be open upon me. Elisha is making a spiritual request. He wants a double portion of Elijah's spirit. He wants a double portion of the anointing that has been placed upon Elijah. And if you look back into 1 Kings chapter 19, you will find that God had already spoken to the old prophet Elijah concerning Elisha. He says, and Jehu shalt thou appoint you to be king over Israel, and Elisha appoint him to be prophet in thy room or in thy place or in thy stead. Elisha, no doubt, had noticed some things about Elijah's life, some things he desired for himself, because Elijah had a spirit of faith. There was just something about him when he stood there on Mount Carmel that day up against 450 prophets of Baal, and he said a short 53-54 word prayer, and fire from heaven came down and consumed. something about this old man. Brother Thomas reminds me of Elijah. That's a compliment, by the way. I'd rather be called Elijah than the prophet of Baal, that's for sure. You see, God is asking us to walk in faith, not walk in fear. We cannot walk around doubting God's word. We've got to have faith to keep pressing forward. Elijah had a spirit of obedience, obeying God, even when the command doesn't make sense. God says, pour water on the sacrifice at Mount Carmel. And Elijah obeyed God when it didn't make sense. You don't pour water on something you're about to take and set on fire. But he did it anyway because he understood that obedience was better than sacrifice. You can't expect God to bless you in your life if you're going to try to do things your own way all the time. We have to be willing to go where God wants us to go. And we have to be willing to do what God wants us to do. And we have to be willing to be what God wants us to be. God needs people who are not going to run when the going gets tough, but needs people who know who they are. For we are more than conquerors through Christ. People who are trustworthy. People who are dependable. People who are faithful. Men and women of character and integrity. People who know how to pray. People who know how to fast. People who stay strong in the word. They don't dilly-dally. They're not double-minded. They're not popping here and they're over there and they're here a little bit of everywhere. Elisha has not asked for a double anointing because he desired wealth or position or status. He was asking God to be the controlling factor in his life. Times two. So as much as God was a controlling factor in the life of Elijah, God is saying, Lord, I want you to have double the control over my life than you had over his life. We still want that double portion? When we ask God, when we ask great things of God, we have to understand there are almost always conditions that have to be met. 2 Kings 2:10 says, and he saith, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me, when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. So we've got to understand that there's a process. We've talked so much about this over this past year. There's a process. Elisha would only get his promise if he witnessed Elijah's transition. There was a contingency there. The blessings of the Lord will be reserved for people that can endure the process. Elisha will be taken through a process, but it is just a test. God will present you in your life. God will present you with options. He doesn't present you with temptations. Sometimes we say, well, God was presenting me with a temptation to see how strong I am. God's not going to tempt you. He's going to give you options. What are you going to do? What are you going to go back to your old life, or are you going to continue forward in your new life? To see if we make the right choices. The choice will be, are we willing to proceed? Are we willing to change lanes here? Are we willing to shift gears? Or do we want to remain in a place of comfort? Remember, church, when God spoke to us on Friday night, he says, step into your promise. He's not forcing us to step into that promise. He's not forcing us to go forward into that promise. It's an option. It's an option. You don't have to go. It's an option. I believe that to stay in our comfort zone, we can stay in our comfort zone or we can move forward with God and step in. But yes, we are going to face opposition. But you see, when we look at Elisha, opposition didn't shake his resolve, and opposition should not shake us. Reading in 2 Kings 2:3, and the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha. And said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? These were the sons of the prophets. These were like the pastor's kids, if we could put it that way. These were the saints of the church. These were people that should have been connected with God. They should have been asking for a double portion as well. And he says, yeah, I know it. Hold your peace. He's saying, be quiet. I understand. I know what I'm into. Whenever you are seeking something from God, you will always have people who will try to discourage you and tell you that your journey that you're on is in vain and it's a waste of time and you can't do it. You don't got it in you. But don't listen to the sons of the prophets. Opportunities. If you know that you are after, if you know what you're after, stop allowing people to speak negativity into your life. Oh, you're going over there to that church? You're going through that program? Listen, this program will change your life. This church will change your life. It's not just the church. It's what the church believes and teaches is what changes our lives. I don't have the power to change anybody's life here. But I can speak it through His Word, and His Word has authority. And God will change your life. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. So they start out in Gilgal. Now they're going to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. They're on a journey. Elisha is going through a process, church. Church, we are on a journey with God. And within that journey, there is a process. Elijah tells Elijah that Gilgal, why don't you stay here in Gilgal? This is a good place to stay. There's easy ministry here in Gilgal. There's comfort here in Gilgal. It's a great place to live. There's friendly folks here. There's no pressure, and there's limited expectation. But Elisha says, I'm sorry, with all due respect, Elijah, I'm not leaving you. I'm not leaving you. I'm going to finish what I've started off doing. I've started out on a journey. I'm not going to be deterred. I'm going to finish what has been started in my life, and I'm going to continue to go through the process. Some of us are ready to bail out on God because we're tired of the process. If you hang in there and allow God to help you through the next phase of your process, what you are learning in this phase of the process is going to catapult you into processes beyond. It's a process. We've got to learn. It's a process. It's a test. God is testing our strength. He's testing our resolve. He's testing our desires. You see, church, Gilgal had significance in the lives of Israel, because Gilgal, you go all the way back to Joshua chapter 5, Gilgal was a place of beginning. It was a place where the Israelites first celebrated when they went into the promised land. They celebrated the Passover. It was a place of new beginnings, and yet it also can be a place where we can become stuck. Many people come to Gilgal in their lives, and they remain stuck there because they like the beginning. They like the cushiness of the beginning. It's a place of comfort. It's a comfort zone. It's where you can develop the attitude that says, this is the way we've always done it, and this is the way I like to do it, so I want to stay here in Gilgal. But listen, church, the only difference between a rut and a grave is measurement. You can stay in Gilgal, but Elijah says, I'm moving on. And Elisha says, I'm going with you. He speaks. God speaks to us just like Elijah spoke to Elisha. He says, you can stay here, Calvary Gospel Church. If you want to, you can stay here. You can stay in this point, but I'm going to move forward. I'm going to go to Bethel. So they kept on in 2 Kings 2, verses 3 and 4, and the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel. Here they have the naysayers. Everywhere you go, there's going to be naysayers. There's going to be those that doubt. There's going to be those that judge from afar off. They don't want to get into the thick of the ministry. They don't want to get into the thick of the battle. They feel safer standing over here on the sidelines and casting a critical eye and critical judgment. See, the sons of the prophets had no skin in the game. And unless you get skin in the game, you're never going to understand what it's like and the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came to Elisha and said unto him, are you not aware that your Lord, this prophet that you're following around, he's going to be taken from you today? The sons of the prophets knew, because they had the same information that Elisha had, and yet they stood off from a distance. Rather than get into the game, rather than becoming part of the miracle, rather than collecting the prize, they decided to just stand off and play it safe. Well, what if this whole thing blows up, you know? What if this whole revival thing doesn't quite happen the way it's supposed to happen? This is God's church. It's not my church. If God says it's going to happen, listen, if he's got to take and use stones and donkeys, it's going to happen. Elisha told Elijah to stay. He says, you know what, I want you to stay here. Gave him an opportunity. Stay. But Elisha is after the anointing. He says, no, nothing doing. With all due respect, Elijah, I'm going to take, and where you're going, I am not going to let you out of my sight. Oh, church, if we could just say the same thing. God, I have no idea where this path is leading me down. I have no idea, God, where I'm going sometimes. There are times when I'm frustrated and I'm confused and I just want to just say, Lord, I can't go on any further. I have no idea what this is going to cost me, God, but God, I have a faith in you. Listen, if my faith isn't in God, then who in the world could I put it in? Think about the world we live in today. Where are you going to put your faith? Church, we need to have that kind of attitude. When we read in Genesis 28, Bethel. Bethel is where Jacob met God, and he had the dream of angels ascending and descending and ascending into the heavens on a ladder. Bethel is a place that represents a place of dreams. Perhaps in your life tonight, you had a place in your life where you had dreams. God gave you great dreams. God gave you a great vision for your life. And you're living on those dreams and you're living on those visions. It might be a camp meeting, perhaps you would look back. Or maybe it was a conference that you went to, or a hyphen event, or youth camp, or midwinter camp. The problem is that many of us will catch the vision, but we'll never move forward in our lives far enough to see that vision or that dream fulfilled. Yeah, how many people have you talked to that has had a life full of dead dreams? Yeah, I was going to do this once, but this happened, and this happened, and this happened. You see, Bethel is a place where we can get stuck in what could have been in my life. It could be a place of past regrets. In other words, if we just stay there, we're dreaming about someday, we're dreaming about somehow, and we're dreaming about some way of doing something for God, but we never quite seem to get it off the ground. You see, church, we cannot afford to stay at Bethel, because the Bethels in our lives, they served a purpose. They served a purpose when Bishop laid out the dream or the vision for this church some 20 years ago. It set us on a course. And this is the way I think. This is the way I feel. Listen, we're not going back to the beginning. The beginning is hanging on the wall out there. And we can take and refer to, or maybe perhaps look at and compare to, but we're not going back to where we began. Because God has placed us on a mission. God has given us a dream. God has given us a vision. And the reason for us being here where we are tonight is because God is calling us forward. Elijah says to Elisha, he says, you know, we're coming upon Jericho. And I pray thee that the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he says, as the Lord liveth and as my soul liveth, Elisha says, I'm not going to leave you. You need to get this through your head, Elijah. I am going where you're going because I am going after the anointing. And there's nothing that's going to stop me from achieving what I have set out to do. And what happens? The sons of prophets, if lo and behold, I don't know how many sons of prophets there were, Brother Forkball, but everywhere he went, there were sons of prophets. So either they were following at a distance, or they were just everywhere. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and says, are you not aware? It's a broken record. It's the same story. Are you not aware that your master is going to be taken up into the heavens today? He's going to be leaving you today. I know. Why don't you just go shut up? I know, and I'm going to be there. The people were saying to Elisha, how long are you going to tarry with him? Everywhere he goes, you're going with him. What kind of future is it for you? How long are you going to carry his water? How long are you going to cook his meals? How long are you going to wash his clothes? How long are you going to do what he tells you to do? How long are you going to go to that church? How long are you going to be in that ministry? How long are you going to put up with what you put up with? Till I get the prize? Till I get the anointing, Brother Glenn? We ought to know that this is a place, this where we are right now is a test from God that we are in a process, because everywhere they went, Elisha is asked to stay behind, but he simply refuses. Church, Jericho represents a place very dear in our hearts, and that is a place of past victories. It's a place where we begin to reminisce about the past and the past victories. And it can be easily become a stumbling block to many of us who desire to live on the victories of our past. This is the place where we can get stuck in what once was. I've heard it said many times, and I've said it. Oh, I remember back when. Remember back when church, we used to have church. You see, God's power and God's anointing does not diminish with time, nor does it diminish with age. So if we're not having church like we used to have church, it's not God's fault we're not having church how we used to have church. If church doesn't move you today like it used to move you on Milwaukee Street, God hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. If you don't feel what you felt when you first were filled with the Holy Ghost and that desire to do what God, you want to stand up at every song, you want to run, you want to clap, you want to jump, you want to shout. God hasn't changed. And I'm going to tell you too, God hasn't moved his position. You see, the problem is God's supernatural abilities do not diminish with time. Only our concept of God diminishes over time. It either diminishes or it increases. If God could do it back in the book of Acts, church, he can do it today. I am believing that God, what God has for Calvary Gospel Church, meets or exceeds the book of Acts. I'm believing that. I'm holding true. I'm not going to be stuck in my dream, but I'm going to hold true and I'm going to hold God. You see, God says, prove me. Prove me. I said, God, you gave me this dream. Let's get it. Let's go. Let's do it. Let's do this. God desires to do something new in Calvary Gospel Church. God desires to do something new in every one of us here. But you see, in order to do something new, we can't meander in Bethel. We can't meander in Jericho. And they came to Jordan. And the 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood afar off. And Elisha and Elijah went and stood by Jordan. You see, understand something, that Jordan is a place of death. They stood back because the river of Jordan represented the boundary to a promise. On the other side of the Jordan River was the wilderness. That was Egypt. But on this side of the Jordan River, and some of us come to the Jordan Rivers of our lives, and it's a barrier between us and between the flesh, our flesh and the spirit. They stood back because it represented the boundary to the promised land. Jordan represented not getting stuck at what should be. We're not supposed to sit back thinking about what we should have done or what we could have done, church. We can't allow opportunities to cause us to miss what God has for our lives. And so many of us, when we come to the banks of the Jordan River, we look at that river and we say, God, I've come as far as I can come. I've gone as far as I can go. And God, I didn't place this barrier in my life. You placed this barrier in my life. That's a river. I didn't make that or create that. And you've led me to this place, and you've led me to a barrier that I cannot cross over. But God is saying to us tonight, I am the God of the supernatural, Brother Forkpaw. I am the God of miracles. You want to step into your promise. You want to step into your anointing. Then you need to take and say, God, I don't know how, what, why, where. I don't understand, but there's a river in front of me, and I'm going to step into that obstacle, and I am going to believe God. Either I'm going to wade up, and I'm going to get caught by the current, and I'm going to drown, or you're going to open up an avenue of miracles. And the obstacle, the Jordan River, what was a barrier became a miracle. You see, we have come so far that quitting is no longer an option. You see, if you desire to see the supernatural, if you desire to see the glory of God, Elijah teaches us that if you're still standing here when this transition comes down, you're going to get what you asked for. And Elisha had to join the old prophet and cross across the river. He had to walk into his miracle. And all while he stood there and Elijah smote the waters, the 50 sons of the prophets stood afar off and watched them, Brother Seidel, walk across on dry ground. The last time God had done a miracle like that was hundreds and hundreds of years earlier when they crossed over that river. And they watch it with their own eyes. And yet, with their own eyes, prophets, men that know the word of God, men that understand, they watched the miracle unfold and they stood afar off. They looked on with amazement, and only one man was willing to cross across that river. And church, tonight, I believe that God is smiting the waters of our lives, and God is calling us to cross over. Tonight, if you've never received the power of the Holy Ghost, if you've never been baptized in His name, God is calling you to cross over tonight. You may say, I don't understand what you're talking about, Pastor Roy. I don't understand everything either. I don't understand how a God that can say, let there be light, can live inside of my life. But He does it, and I am so thankful He has given us the power and the authority over the enemies of our lives, and we have that authority and power every moment of every day. You see, things happen very quickly. When God says, I'm about to move, that means you better get your act together. When they crossed over Jordan, things began to happen. And it came to pass when they went on and talked, and behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by whirlwind into heaven. After not seeing Elijah anymore, Elisha tore his clothes off. And listen, church, we got to rip some of the old junk in our lives that we allow to accumulate on us. When God says, if you're going to get a double portion, if you're going to step in to the supernatural, there's some things that you've been letting hang on to your life that you're going to have to get rid of. If you're going to go where I want you to go, and you're going to say what I want you to say, and you're going to be used in a miraculous double portion anointed way, you got to get rid of some junk. But I like my junk, Lord. I like it, God. I like who I am. God says, but I'm not. That's not what I'm looking for. You see, we have to rip off fear. You know, it's real easy to be afraid. Enemy comes at you. It's real easy to get up here and sing about raise up a standard, raise up a standard. We get all excited and happy until the enemy punches us right smack in the face. We don't know what hit us, and we lay on the ground and we're whining and complaining and groaning and moaning. I've been there. I'll probably be there again. I'm a human just like the rest of you. But you see, we got to rip off the fear, the doubt, the depression, bitterness, failures of our past, because God is about to give us a new wardrobe. He's about to give us a new mantle. The same power that Elijah had fell on Elisha. It wasn't the same anointing. It was a double portion of Elijah's anointing. And Elisha had every chance to bail out along the way. He had every chance to go back to the farm. He could go back to the family. He could go back to his friends, but he kept going. From Gilgal to the Jordan River, Elisha refused to stay behind. People ask Elisha, why are you seeking this anointing? Why are you seeking the supernatural, seeking after God's glory? He told him to be quiet because he was headed towards something great. Our musicians can come, and if you could stand. Like Elisha, church, we need a double portion. Why do we need a double portion? Because God has told us time and time again that he desires to do signs, miracles, and wonders, and he desires to do the impossible among us. That's why I know we need it. And if we need it, why do we resist it? You say, Elijah, he crossed over and he never saw death, because Jordan was a place of death. But Elisha crossed over with Elijah, and God made a separation. So disbelievers, doubters, chronic complainers, people that hate, people that are jealous, people that all for all what whatever reasons, they will have to stay on the other side with the 50 prophets. You see, God made a separation so that doubters couldn't be there. God put that separation in there. 2 Kings 2:13 says, he took also up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell up from him. And what did he do with that mantle? You see my jacket there, brother? Sorry. He had that mantle. Now, he did everything that Elijah said he had to do. He did it all. He followed him to the very end. And he says, if you get that mantle when it comes down from heaven, then you're going to get a double portion. And
Just as when Elijah crossed across the river, he took that mantle and he smote the waters. Elisha has that same mantle of the prophet, and he walks up in plain view of the 50 sons of the prophets. And what does he do? He challenges God. He says, God, I have been faithful. I have done everything that you have asked me to do. I have gone the extra mile. I didn't stay in Bethel. I didn't stay in Gilgal. I didn't stay in Jericho. I didn't stay on the other side of the Jordan River. I have done everything you've asked me to do. So he took that mantle and he slapped it upon the waters. And he says, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Basically what he says is prove yourself, Jehovah God. God looked down, and I'm sure if God could have a beaming smile on his face from ear to ear, he looked down and he said, oh yes, I have been waiting for this moment. I have been waiting for someone to come along that says, I want a double portion of God's anointing. I will happily oblige. I will split the waters. You see, God created everything with potential. That includes you and I. He placed the seed of each thing that he created. The oak, the acorn has potential. The sunflower seed, the mustard seed. Everything God created, he created with potential, including you and I. Potential to be more than it is at any one moment. You see, everything in life has potential. You here tonight, you may not feel that you have potential, but God looks at you and says, I created you. You are part of me. And you have potential. You see, the tree is in the seed, and the seed is in the tree. Potential is dormant ability, reserved power. It's untapped, unrealized strength. It's unrealized, successful, hidden talents, and it's capped ability. It's all you can be, but not yet have become. God is looking down here tonight at Calvary Gospel Church, and he's saying, Calvary Gospel Church, I am begging you. I am moving, and I desire you to make this journey with me. And yet we will sit back and say, but Lord, I don't think I have it in me. And God says, oh, not so. I planted that seed in you when you were still in your mother's womb. So you may look at yourself tonight and you may say, oh, but you don't understand the mess I've made of my life. I don't really care. And you know what? Neither does God. Because God's not looking at your Jericho. He's not looking at your Bethel. He's not looking at your Gilgal. He's looking at you across the Jordan River. So I'm going to open up this altar tonight. If you need something from God tonight, I don't care what it is. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Big, small, doesn't matter to God. God says, look what I can do with a small acorn. I can turn it into a mighty oak. If you just trust me. If you just allow me in your life, and if you allow yourself to go through the process that I have for you.
You are love. On display for all.
See, you could be all what you have not yet become.
When the darkness closes in, you are hope, you are hope, you have covered all my sins. You are peace, you are peace. Nothing compares to your embrace.